If you know reggae at all, you know that that is Ruco Rodriguez from Jamaica. And he's introducing us to Rico's message. That is from his 2000 album, Reggae Jazz Attack. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. And today, it is Free Your Mind Friday. You know that on Fridays, we give a lot of room so that you can express yourselves and share your ideas and your thoughts and opinions and engage each other in debate in the way that some other people are not doing, of course. We actually want to know what people are thinking around here. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And we are looking for your considered opinions about all these things that have been discussed on the program and not yet discussed on the program, things that you think warrant further investigation, further discussion, and further debate. You are in the driver's seat, and I always say that this is part of what we do. We have to create community by engaging each other, and especially when we may have differing opinions about things. In the exchange of information, we are likely to find out what other dimensions to the issues are that we might have solid opinions about. And then you hear something from a different angle and you go, oh, well, that is interesting. So that's what this program is about. You are in the driver's seat. This is your time. 888-874-4888. We start in New York with Joel. Hello, Joel. You're on the air.
Hey, Trees. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. I've had a nice week. So I want to go back to the events of last week, you know, the Paris attacks. And I'd like to approach it from a slightly different point of view. You know, it struck me that, one of the attackers who vanished after the Paris night, when I was thinking about that, and I said to myself that there are three nations, in a way, that are involved in this, whose history and action and inaction help to explain the slaughter that took place there. And it seems to me that what I'm about to say now, this, as far as I can tell, has largely escaped attention in the kind of responses that we've seen to these crimes that took place last Friday. Anyway, the first one that I wanted to talk about was the Algerian War, the connection of the Francis Savage war with Algeria in 1956-62. Algeria is a war to, you know, achieve colonial emancipation. And in a way, it kind of infects today's atrocities. And the second thing was, the continuing absolute refusal to contemplate Saudi Arabia's role as a purveyor of the most extreme form of Wahhabi Islam, in which ISIS believes. It seems to me that our leaders still decline to recognize the links between the kingdom, the Saudi kingdom, and the organization which struck Paris. And the third point is the almost complete unwillingness to accept that the only regular military force in constant combat with ISIS is the Syrian army, which in effect is fighting for the regime that France also wants to destroy. So those are the three things. The thing that really got me, I think, Utrice, was the Algerian War. And I was watching, you know, the events on TV like everybody else, trying to find out what happened. And it struck me that whenever the West is attacked and innocents are killed, we usually wipe the memory bank. So when reporters told us that there were, I think, 129 people that were killed in Paris, that represented the worst atrocity in France since the Second World War, they failed to mention something that I remember very well because I was a young college student at the time. They failed to mention the 1961 Paris massacre of up to 200 Algerians who were participating in an illegal march against France's savage colonial war in Algeria. And most were murdered by the French police, and many were tortured in the Palais des Sports, and their bodies were thrown into the Seine. The French only admitted that 40 were dead, but the police officer in charge was a guy, I know this because I did a senior thesis on this in college, the police officer in charge was Maurice Papon, P-A-P-O-N, who worked for the collaborationist French government in the Second World War and helped deport more than 1,000 Jews to their deaths. We never hear about that. And that took place, pardon me, in Paris in 1961. And one of the suicide killers in Paris was of Algerian origin. And so, too, were two of the suspects who were murdered in the Charlie Hebdo case. I think they were named Kouachi. They were Algerian. They were from Algerian background as well. And these, all of these people came from the 5 million-plus Algerian community in France. And for many, the Algerian War has never ended, and they live today in the slums of Saint-Denis in Paris and other Algerian banlieues of Paris. And yet the origin of the November 13 killers and the history of the nation from which their parents came has been largely deleted from the narrative of Friday's of events. You know, a Syrian passport with a Greek stamp is more exciting for obvious reasons.
Well,
and, yeah.
Sorry, continue. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, the only other thing I wanted to say very briefly was that when we think about the Saudi Sunni Wahhabi faith, which is the foundation for this so-called Islamic Caliphate, that the present-day Saudi kingdom, which regularly beheads supposed criminals after unfair trials, is connected to the Wahhabi cleric, I believe his name was Abdul al-Wahhab, who was the philosopher in the late 18th century whose ruthless desire to expunge the Shia and other infidels from the Middle East led to 18th century massacres in which the original Saudi dynasty was deeply involved. And the present kingdom, which regularly beheads, you know, criminals after unfair trials, is actually building a museum in Riyadh dedicated to al-Wahhab's teaching. I was thinking about the fact that much of the many of the remarks that were made after the killings on Friday by ISIS spokesmen argued that Paris was a kind of center of prostitution and immediately thought of, you know, of Wahhabi Islam. And much ISIS funding has come from the Saudis. Although, again, this fact has been wiped from the territorial, that terrible story of Friday's massacre. And finally, there's Syria, whose regime's destruction has long been a French government demand. And yet Assad's army, which was long outmanned and still outgunned, began recapturing some territory once the Russians came in, is the only trained military force fighting ISIS. And for years, the Americans, the British, and the French have said that the Syrians do not fight ISIS. And this is palpably false. Syrian troops, 60,000 Syrian troops have been killed in Syria, many by ISIS and by the al-Nusra Islamists. But our desire to destroy the Assad regime takes precedence over our need to crush ISIS. So that's what I really wanted to talk about today. There are these, you know, these three events that are never spoken about in the West. And once more, it seems to me, the West, especially France, is responding to these attacks with emotion rather than reason, without any historical context, without recognizing the grim role that our so-called moderate, head-chopping Saudi brothers play in this horror story, and we think we're going to destroy ISIS.
Well, actually, it would be interesting also to connect the very existence, the history of the existence of Saudi Arabia itself. It was created in similar circumstances of the Muhammad ibn Saud basically collecting nomadic peoples and tribes by conquering them as he went and amassing both land and a people. With the specific idea of founding a nation based on Wahhabism. And the British came in and said, hey, guess what? We need a place to stage our airplanes in case we have to fly over to India and check rebellions there. And you seem to be the warlord of the day, never discussed as a terrorist or anything like that, but they cut a deal and said, look, we need a place to park our planes, and you could give us protection. And he said, sure. And in return for that, you will have to go to the League of Nations and formally declare my renegade state a country. And Britain said, done deal. So it's interesting in today's world, when we're talking about the ISIS and related terrorist groups, but particularly ISIS and its incursions into other countries, taking huge swaths of land from Syria or Iraq and declaring themselves a state, and it is presented as if this is something new. In fact, Britain aided and abetted the emergence of Saudi Arabia, named after Saud himself, gave him his personal country at the time that he was a warlord. Then they use the word warlord now. Certainly in today's world, he would have been considered on par with an Osama bin Laden or some major profile terrorist. But you see, you're correct in the point that you made of the convenient omissions of history, because people are not supposed to link these things. They're not supposed to see the connections with these things. So thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. Just one last point, Adrian.
Sure.
You know, when it happened, I read about it in the French press. At the time, and there was hardly anything in that paragon of opinion, the New York Times, the little story about it, and that was it. And you know, that war for your younger listeners was really a savage colonial war. The French killed 2 million Algerians in about 6 years in that war. It didn't surprise me that something like that would happen in Paris, and it didn't elicit a tremendous response among Parisians, among French, except for, you know, a bunch of French intellectuals and students who were opposing the Algerian war at that time.
Thank you for your call today, Joel.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We go to Brooklyn next. David, you're on the air.
I must say I'm ecstatic to hear that you're doing well.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
And what you say a lot is keep away from the negative people.
Yes, I do.
Boy, is that true. I don't have any friends left. I had to get rid of all of them.
Was there really that much negativity in your life, David, that you're now almost friendless?
Yes. Sadly, that's exactly the truth. And I gave somebody a second chance, and he was worse, and I didn't see him for 10 years. He got worse in the 10 years. So how's that?
Well, what are you submitting for our consideration today?
Today I'm considering that the old saying, what you see is what you get, is far from the truth. Because there's so much behind the scenes that people don't know about. I don't want to talk about the wars. You just covered the terrorism and all that. I really don't want to speak or hear about that right now because there's too much of it. I know you understand that by now. The puppets are strings are being pulled. It's the same people who started these terrorist groups. Well, not directly, but of course indirectly. Yeah, understand?
Yes, I'm listening.
They're keeping big secrets, especially the extraterrestrial factor. People think I'm nuts when I say this. They don't have an open mind. Because it's fact that the so-called Big Bang happened 13.7 billion years ago, and it took a half a billion years for the galaxies to form. So that means the galaxies that we see in the night skies were already out there close to 8 billion years before our sun was created. So how could you not think there was life elsewhere? because we see extremophiles all over the planet. You with me so far?
Well, I'm trying to keep pace with you, but I think you're a little scattered. What I'd like you to do is to give us the thesis, if you will, of your contribution today and follow through with it.
Oh, that's hard for me to do.
It's okay. It's not impossible. It's just maybe a little difficult, but not impossible.
Now, the people have been, as we both know, dumbed down already by the society, especially the media and the Congress, which they're not working for us. We're paying their salary, but they're not working for us. They're working for the Citizens United corporations. And I'm just saying that the extraterrestrial factor is here, and it's been here. And I'm not saying that because there's a TV show that discusses that. I want people to open up their mind, really, because there's unseen and unknown things that should be.
All right. Well, thank you for contributing that, and it's now on the table. Let's see how people receive it and react to it. Thank you so much, David, for your call today. 888-874-4888. This is an open forum. It's Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories, and that's exactly what I hope you will do today. Free your mind, and in freeing your mind, hopefully you'll help free ours as well. 888-874-4888. From New York, Jay, you're on the air.
How are you, Eutrice?
Fine, thank you. And how are you?
Good. I saw a picture of you, and you look beautiful.
It looks like you're
doing very well.
I do my best.
Thank you. Listen, I just wanted to ask you, what is your take on what's happening with this whole presidential campaign in regards to this big thing now of immigration? Do you think it will play a big part on how this election goes forward? Because if you look at the major players in regards to speaking out on it, I just can't see them becoming the president of the United States, a.k.a. the wingnut Donald Trump.
Well, I would turn the question back to you because I think you have an answer somewhere there. And today it's about you providing the answers and the thoughts about it. So let me turn the question back to you. First of all, why did you raise a question? What did you notice or what prompted you to ask the question?
It just seems like right now in the media, it's the biggest part of the so-called election campaign. It's the biggest topic. It's being used to, I would say, define the candidates on the level that I don't really think it should be. And it's being done in a sense to whereas only white people are defining this. It's no people of color defining the argument. If you notice on any of these news channels, in the discussion on what's going on, it's always white people talking about it. And when you see people of color talking about it, they're just going along with what the other people are saying. It's no analysis by, let's say, a Mexican or, let's say, someone from Syria or some other place of color that's affected by this in regards to what just happened over, you know, in the so-called Middle East, which is a part of Africa. It just seems like I saw an article where a CNN reporter made a critique about the whole thing of not letting people into the country and using the Statue of Liberty as her basis for we are supposed to let everyone into the country and her being suspended for 2 weeks. It's like it's this fever pitch of trying to promote closing the borders or, you know, sending people away that's been in the country, making immigrants look bad. But when you look at it, it's only immigrants of color. There's never any discussion about other people who are immigrants, who have been immigrants. There's no even discussion that Donald Trump's great-grandfather was an immigrant that came to this country. You know, just things of that. It's like everyone of color that's an immigrant coming here is deemed a threat.
Well, let me say, you put your finger on something, and your observations, I would say, are quite on target. And now I will ask you the follow-up question. Why do you think that is? What could be the explanation for this, in your view, what you've been describing is, you know, kind of uneven coverage? What do you think might be accounting for that? What is the reason in your head?
I would think it's the threat of white people, in a sense, not rich white people, but everyday white people losing their position and control of this country. I think that it's used to making them seem and feel as though they're losing their place of status here, that they're being overtaken, that they're now going to be AKA the minority, and that these people are threatening your way of life. You know what I mean? Now, that's for the Billy Bob crew. You know, I don't think that's for the Trumps and the rest of the 1%, the real elite. And, you know, I just think that they're trying to use it in a sense to create a race and class warfare, to keep people pitted against one another so that things cannot be seen for what it really is, on why these wars happening, who benefits from the wars, and things of that nature. I think they're just trying to get society to the point to where as white people feel extremely threatened. And that's the way I see it. I see it as a tool to make white panic.
Well, you started out by wanting to know my opinion. I think you're on pretty good ground yourself. I don't think you need anybody's opinion, really. I think you have a very good analysis of it. You certainly have a realistic appraisal of it, and I don't think that you're far off base at all. In fact, I agree to a large extent with what you've been saying today. I've talked about it myself. And this is what is driving this racist, xenophobic attitude in politics now, because, of course, it feeds into the general the assumption that they are mirroring or they are articulating the innermost feelings of white America about this. Now, they may be wrong, but we won't know that until we see how people react to it. But so far, they're striking a very, very deep chord with America, i.e. white America, on the business of immigration. And the threat it poses to, quote, the American way of life. All these code words essentially are race-based. And
right.
It is not unique to the United States. We're seeing this development all over the world, where people get a lot of mileage, especially those vying for political power. They get a lot of mileage by preying on the fears of people. And these fears include racial fears, religious fears, cultural fears, economic fears. any kind of fears that they think the populace might be experiencing, that is exactly where they go. And we have seen time and again in history how effectively very conniving political leaders use these fears to great advantage. They cause a lot of damage, much of it long-term damage. It persists long after they're dead and gone. But for the expediency of the moment, in order to get where they want to go, they're not above or beneath creating this kind of racial havoc. So I think you have a very, very, very solid reading of the scenario, of the situation we're in. Thank you so much. It was good listening to how you unraveled your thoughts, but you had them in good shape. Thank you so much for your contribution today. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. You're listening to Lead Stories on your favorite station, PRN.FM. Your thoughts, you are the driver today. The net waves belong to you. From Berkeley, Harvey, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful you, Chief.
Hello, wonderful Harvey. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I'm doing wonderful, too. I'm always trying to see the good and bad, and it's not so easy, I'll tell you. But it seems that the Earthlings, that we Earthlings, are still busy seeing each other as the other, and one of the historic reactions, our historic reactions, is to build walls. There's the Great Wall of China that's about 13,000 miles. And there's the wall between Israel and Palestine. That's still under construction, but it'll be about 403 miles when it's finished. And then there's a wall between North Korea and South Korea. That's 160 miles. And, of course, there's the Berlin Wall. They tore that one down. And there's a wall between Guatemala and Mexico border, 541 miles. And they will, of course, want to build a wall between Mexico and USA. And so I'm thinking, especially with the massive flow of refugees around the world, that there's going to be even more wall building. So my idea is to make these walls generate clean, renewable electricity, and there'd be solar electric walls.
If there's going to be a wall, let it be green, is it?
Yes, and people of both sides, they can plug their new electric cars into their solar electric walls and help to really reduce the carbon load on the atmosphere. And thereby slowing global baking. And so I think it is really time to get star-powered, and I'm saying let's get solar, and solar electric walls is the way to go.
Okay. Practical Harvey from Berkeley, thank you so much for your call. New Jersey's next. Keith, what have you to say?
Eutrice, you're wonderful. I love you. I'm so
thank
happy
you.
For you.
Same
and
here.
I hope everything goes well. I came across an article on the mindunleashed.org, and it was saying that they were suggesting that there was a false flag in France for three reasons. One, France was potentially going to refuse to sign the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. The second thing was that they wanted to recognize Palestine. And the third was that apparently the banking dynasty is facing fraud charges in France. It's a great article, and I just wanted to throw that out there for consideration.
All right, but since you're throwing it out there for consideration, you might as well tell us where you stand on all of these false flag arguments.
Honestly, I think because of artificial intelligence and what the military has been doing, especially there were suggestions about the J-Helm operation that was done in August to September and stuff. I think that, and Facebook with them messing around with algorithms and manipulating the social networks and so on, they've been doing this for decades. It goes back to MKUltra and even before that, all the way back to post-World War II when Project Paperclip came about and they brought in all these Nazis from overseas to do all this sort of mind manipulation. This stuff's been going on forever. It's just that I think that they've gotten better at it, and I do believe there is a secret society, which kind of ties in to your friend who called about the UFOs. I'm not willing at this point to say there are UFOs or not, but I am willing to say that there is a tremendous amount of operations in terms of an underground kind of secret society that is manipulating the populace. And, yes, I believe that a lot of these things are false flags. I watched and looked on the, I mean, there's a lot on the Internet, too. And there's always something to muddle the waters, and there are people being paid constantly to go on the Internet, to do blogs and so on, to troll around, to just muddy the waters, confuse people and so on. But like the Twin Towers incident, 9/11, if you look at that carefully in those videos, it does look like a hologram hit the Twin Towers, because the airplane wings go into the towers, and that's an impossibility. They would have snapped off. So things like that, and there's Judy Wood talks about the dustification and how the towers went straight down, and the only thing left were ceramic, and everything else was disintegrated. It had to be some kind of psychotronic weaponry, which, interestingly enough, is tied into Israel and them doing software and creating these kinds of things. They have so much weaponry that we're not aware of. Now, your friend that was saying about UFOs and how maybe we've reversed engineered things, there's a woman named Solaris Blue Raven who goes even further by saying that she's been implanted. She did work for the military, and she believes that through remote viewing and sort of mind-side kind of work that they've been doing in the military, they've also developed how to weaponize the occult or etheric realms, which I find very fascinating and scary at the same time. So,
me too.
Yeah.
This is fascinating and scary. And thanks for the call, Keith. Thanks for contributing today.
God bless you, all right?
Thank you. From New York, Hugh, you are on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Hello. How are you, Hugh?
Very, very well, thank you. Just something that was rather peculiar. After the French terrorist attacks on Friday, now this is sort of going back in time a bit, but it was something so obvious, and even people talked about it then, but even now it becomes even more peculiar. And it's not so much political, but an aspect of the total incompetence of policing, of police action. After the French attack, not a day went by when the French launched police raids and subsequent attacks on the suspects in both in France and in Belgium, I think, with Belgium, agreements to chase after supply lines there. And they, managed to track down some, suspects and so forth, so we've been told. But it was, they launched police actions. After 9/11, 16 Saudis who had been living in the United States, who had to have a support network for themselves. One would have thought they would have had a support network. And this has nothing to do with policy or politics. You would have thought that they did. After the attacks, there was not one raid, there was not one arrest, there was not one perp brought in for investigation, for interrogation. Instead, all of the Saudis that were here were escorted out back to Saudi Arabia. And then to add insult to injury, the James Baker, who was once the Secretary of State, I think, under Bush Sr., and who was the family consigliere for the Bush family generally.
You call the man a consigliere?
Consigliere. He was the family lawyer, just like the fellow in The Godfather was. At any rate, he was often called that, the family consigliere of the Bush family. He goes to defend the Saudi Arabian government against survivors of the victims of 9/11 who were accusing the Saudis, and rightly so, because everybody knows that these guys were funding radical jihadist organizations, and no doubt were funding these guys. He went and successfully defended the Saudi government against American victims of 9/11. Yet both the lack of any police action and this absolute outrage of someone not close to government power actually defending a government that was clearly complicit in some matter, because they had been supplying these people for years in the 9/11 attacks. It's hardly even mentioned. I mean, this is so outrageous. Could you imagine if Obama had done a similar thing? They would have dragged him into Lafayette Park and lynched him. But instead, what did the Bush administration do? They went looking for their car keys where the light was good and not where they dropped them. Namely, they went into Iraq. And I would say even Afghanistan, because the Taliban had nothing to do with this. They had this Saudi playboy who was playing King Saladin in the desert with his pals, and they just simply took money from this guy to let him hang out in the caves. Instead, they went looking for the keys in the wrong place. This only really reemerges to me when you think of what the French did after the French attack last week. They immediately launched police raids and dragged in suspects to question. None of that happened after 9/11. And this is not, I'm not getting into conspiracy theories or anything. This is just so blatantly incompetent that it staggers the mind that it's not an ongoing question as to what the hell was going on, generally. I mean, you don't even have to do research to know this. This is something that's so obvious and right in front of you. So that's pretty much.
It's all the more jarring because it's being reported now that several of the individuals connected allegedly to the attacks were known to the authorities, not only in Paris but outside of Paris as well, within the European Union. But apparently, there was no meaningful exchange of information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just to reinforce your word incompetence of police investigation and keeping tabs on terrorists.
What often happens is people seek to find a conspiratorial intelligence guiding the peculiarities like this, when what you're looking at sometimes is just gross stupidity. Although in the case of Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabians who were hustled out of the United States back in 9/11, obviously the connection between the Bush family and the Saudi royal family goes way back, number one. Number two, it may have avoided some very embarrassing situations if in fact, they found Saudi people who may have helped these guys while they were here before they committed the hijackings. And that could have, been proven very embarrassing. Not that it was a conspiracy to do it, but that it just would have proven embarrassing to the government. But again, it's something that you would have imagined there'd be a little more talk about. I mean, this is like finding someone sneaking out of a hotel room from an adulterous tryst under a video camera, and he's a very important person. It's just something so obvious that you would have thought there'd be a little bit more to say about it, but nothing. Anyway,
interesting. Thank you, Hugh, for your call today.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you. Well, New York is reigning supreme. We have Mike. Are you there, Mike? Mike is not there. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. This is Lead Stories on your favorite station, PRN.FM, and it is Free Your Mind Friday, the day that you are going to stretch out and tell us what you think. Completely unscripted. Nobody tells you what to say. And you have the right to express yourself and to offer up for our consideration things that you think warrant further inspection. So what have you to say about the issues of the day or about anything else? 888-874-4888. Let's take this little break and come back to your calls right after this. listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and your calls at 888-874-4888 on this day, Free Your Mind Friday. Again, from New York. New York is winning today like crazy. Matt, you're on the air.
Wow. I wish I had gotten the name of the guy who was it just before Hugh? I just want to say to the family that I am just so proud. You know, I tuned in about 10 minutes late, but what I heard, and I'm somewhat distracted, a little bit tired, I am just so hardened by some of the insights and perceptions, because it's all so obviously scripted, agendized, and it's all around continual perpetual war. I mean, when they came up with war on terror, it was just such a concept that, you know, and I was mentioning a book I had been reading, and they don't get the larger picture, the author doesn't, but he gives one case after another. It's called The Terror Factory. And if you look at the cases that the FBI has put together, they take people who are developmentally disabled, sometimes almost retarded, don't have two nickels to rub together, and they create the terrorism, right, with the informant that if they turn back, you know, they're pressured and coerced, that they must go forward with, and then get these many, many years convictions. So I just think, I mean, the CIA and the Mossad were meeting and conferring and can be placed in Paris. There is always a drill going on with these type of situations, and there were 5,000 rounds and 50 grenades that were thrown into that apartment building. So presumably they evacuated, and so some apartments were literally destroyed, so some people are obviously homeless. But you would think that if they're really dealing with terrorism, that they would want to bring in these people, get the intelligence. But, it's always it's sort of how we deal with law enforcement and shoot first and ask questions later. But it makes no sense. 50,000 rounds, 50 grenades destroy the apartment building, and the body is in pieces, yet you have no way to bring them in and get intelligence. So it's all contrived. Hopefully and thankfully people are waking up. You got some special callers, you Therese, and I'll listen for some others. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call today. Another false flag believer that there is more to what we know and what we are told. Thanks so much for your call, Matt. Mike from New York, you're back. Good to have you. Are you there? Okay. Haven't heard. Are we hearing you, Mike? No. Okay, from New Jersey, Inuni, you're on the air.
Greetings.
Hello, how are you, my dear good friend?
I'm very upset, very, very upset. Today, one of the most dangerous criminals that ever lived in this land has walked out free, Jonathan Pollard.
Okay, explain.
Jonathan Pollard, according to the FBI agent, Love, who was the chief agent, said he was the most dangerous man that the American government ever encountered spying. In fact, I think it was Weinberger, the then Secretary of Defense, gave an opinion that is still secret regarding the damage that this man did to the country. And why I'm upset is he walks out free because his agents, the State of Israel, and the Zionist supporters here made sure he was free. What about our political prisoners? We have political prisoners who did not commit half the crimes that Jonathan Pollard committed. and not a word. We have prisoners languishing in jail for over 30 years, political prisoners. And what I'm doing now is I'm going to put out a call that the so-called Black Caucus be the mouthpiece for us and free all political prisoners, all political prisoners. And before I go, it is hardly known that those same people who now rule Israel attempted to kill President Truman. They attempted to assassinate him. And my source is unimpeachable. It's in the biography of Harry S. Truman by his daughter, Margaret Truman, which says that in 1947, the Stern Gang attempted to assassinate President Truman in this country. It's in Harry S. Truman by Margaret Truman. And anybody can go to the library and get that book, and they will see where the Zionist terrorist attempted to kill President Truman. You will hear this, but it's in the book by his daughter. And these are the people who you have a Congress slaving and bringing their leader, bringing the Zionist leader to the Congress to embarrass the President of the United States.
Thanks, Anuni, for your call, and good to hear from you today. Thank you. Mike, we're trying to get you on the air. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What have you to say?
Oh, okay. First of all, I just, very short, about September 11th, they never shown us any plane parts from anywhere. That's just where I'm going to go right now. I can talk a little longer, but if they can show me some plane parts, I'll put on a uniform and fight myself. That's all I got to say at the moment.
All right. Thank you. Sal, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris. Hi. How are you?
Hi. Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm glad you're doing. I'm doing fine, and I'm glad that you're doing better. I've been hearing about some of your ailments. But
yes.
To just get onto the track of what's going on today, which is great to see many of your callers acknowledging false flag events, which are pretty obvious. I mean, the 9/11 story, the official story, is so full of holes. It's beyond looking like Swiss cheese. There's more air in that story than actual fact. And it's, you know, it's just proven. I mean, just the one simple fact that a building does not fall into the path of most resistance, which is itself, without explosives. I mean, this has been documented by the architects and engineers. I don't know if you're aware of that site.
Oh, yes. I had the president on the air, actually, on the occasion of the anniversary of the attack.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's over 2,000 plus architects and engineers, as you well know. And they go, and then there's this filmmaker, Massimo Mazzucco, who did a film on 9/11. He just added to it recently. It's not like a 5-hour film. You can find it on the internet. Just going through every aspect of it, and it's pretty clear. And just the things that are being released. Have you heard about the new information about Hitler not being dead? They released some new information on the Freedom of Information Act, apparently, and they have evidence that Hitler, went to Argentina. So, yeah, there's a lot.
That's been around for some time. I mean, those reports, but they have not been substantiated. I hasten to point out.
The thing that's kind of funny about it is they have a show now on the History Channel, and a whole bunch of investigators headed by this guy Bear, the CIA analyst guy, who's been in the field for years, and it's called Hunting Hitler. It's on the History Channel, and they're going through all of these things and evidence that they have. I mean, I don't see how it's going to, I haven't seen how it's concluded yet, because it's a series, and there's only two episodes that have come out. But
are you putting these examples before us because you so distrust the government, or do you really believe that there is reason to believe that there is something other than what we are presented, what we are told?
Yes. Well, I'm just saying there are many reasons. Just from what I talked, just take 9/11 itself. You know how that investigation went, and it's just fabricated. And then it's actually at the point where most of the people in America, I think we're at 50%, something like that, believe that the government story is incorrect. It's false and fabricated. But
transpose this, I mean, if I could ask you to apply what you just said to the situation in Paris, the attacks in Paris, what is your thought about that?
Well, I agree with the woman previously speaking with. I mean, we're just on this path to continuous war now. I mean, here we are. Again, you know, all the channels, they're talking about the attacks. And sure, things happen. Something happened in Mali today. It's well known that ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they both were created by the CIA. And then you look at who benefits, Cape Bono. I mean, it was Eisenhower that warned us against the military-industrial complex, and it just keeps pushing that agenda forward, constant war. And it's just unbelievable. It's George Orwell's vision realized. And I don't know the specifics. I think that'll come out. People that will actually do some real investigation, hopefully, into what's going on with the Paris attacks. And I'm not going to be surprised if we find out that there were some nefarious forces to try to get the drum up. You know, it's going to be more martial law. As it is, we have military people in Grand Central Station, which should be against the law. I've been seeing that now for a number of years. It's, you know, we have FEMA detention camps set up, all ready to go. It doesn't look good. You know, that's all I'm saying.
So,
and, you know,
you're not being paranoid. You're not being...
I don't think I'm being paranoid. I'm just pointing out what I think is real. It's what's happening in front of us. You know? I mean, it goes back even to, you know, somebody brought up 1947 and Truman. 1947, that's when we had our Roswell event, if you recall. And the first news release about that was that it was an actual saucer. I think the very first news release was that it was an actual saucer, and then they quickly turned around and said, no, it was like a weather balloon. But you know, it all goes back to that event, and you know, there's been several people done investigations in that. I mean, we have actual astronauts like Mitchell who's telling us that aliens exist. I mean, this is real stuff, and there's just too much evidence around. I mean, obviously there's a lot of confusion and misinformation, and the fact that we've been, you know, back engineering that technology since that period, and that the Nazis had some connection to it, I think people recognize that now. I mean, people who look into the evidence and see. But, you know, all that's being suppressed.
All right. Well, thank you. It was worth waiting for you, Mike. I'm glad that you were able to connect. Thanks. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. A lot of it having to do with extraterrestrials and things unseen. But I delight in the opportunity to interact, and we hear from people what they're thinking. This is great. So this is what this radio station is about. This is what this program is about. And I encourage you to pass the word along to those people in your circle. Let them know this is where you come to every day for your intellectual upliftment. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Guns and Butter. you'd want to reach me, I hope, drop me a note. Let me know how these programs affect you and what you're thinking of them, what you'd like to have explored on the program. All these things are great. And I want to thank those of you. I'm getting more and more people telling me about the study circles that they are forming. And it sounds very formal, but it actually isn't. It's just a group of people who gather together and listen to the program on their own time, and then they discuss it among themselves. And that is a phenomenal thing, I think, and I thank you for that. So if you wish to start one, go right ahead and start a study circle. But I encourage you just the same to get the word out about Lead Stories. I want to see this program grow, as I do want the station to grow also. So thank you so much for any support you can lend in that regard. This is the weekend. Take it easy. Surround yourself with people who are positive. Absolutely reject any negativity in your life. And move with people who bring positive dimension to your life. I thank you sincerely for the pleasure and the privilege of your company every day, Monday through Friday. Take care, and we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.